Everybody, I want to welcome you to the Raw Spiel. That's where we're keeping it real with the hard truth. I'm glad to have on here again, Pastor Bill Jenkins. He was on here on the broadcast a few weeks ago, and he's going to help me answer this question. You know, someone asked me off the air, you know, does a man... Hold on. Should a man find a wife on his own, I guess referring to what Proverbs 18:22 says, or should a man seek God? So should he wait, should he depend on God to send a wife to him, or should he look for a wife on his own free will? And in that latter part, I've heard someone mention this before. On another social media platform, a guy was saying, "No, you shouldn't have to pray for no wife. It's for a man to find his own wife." So that's what some people think. But we have Pastor Jenkins here, can go and break it down for us. So. And this happened to come from a man that's already married, so hopefully before this broadcast is over, those of you that's seeking to get married, you have a better understanding of what marriage really is. It's not this fairy tale that you see on TV, and it's definitely not this nonsense you see on reality TV. Real housewife or this and that. Whatever you see on VH1, Bravo, BET, or whatever. And so we got Pastor Jenkins going to give us a biblical perspective of this. If we can answer this question, then we're going to go over what makes a husband, what makes a man a husband, and also what is a wife. And you see in Proverbs 18:22, it says, a man that findeth a wife. That means you already got to be a wife. You already have to have those qualities there. So I'm not gonna jump the gun. We're gonna let Pastor Jenkins break it down for us. So, again, welcome back on the program, Pastor Jenkins. And then you answer this question for this listener?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me. Love being with you. Love the rawness of the program. We get to the nitty gritty stuff. So let me just get to it. Not only did God bring Eve to Adam, he brought Eve from Adam. Right. And so when you think about it like that, we don't go looking. We're not out there, trying to find something. We're going to find the wrong things. As a matter of fact, that word find in Proverbs 18:22 means discover. So God may, bring people along your path. But, you may have to, discover it. You may have to, obviously be a part of that. But God will always bring you those things that you need. You don't have to go looking for them. You have to have kingdom vision. So when you have kingdom vision, God will provide kingdom provision. I've been married almost 25 years. This year, 2023, I'll be celebrating 25 years of marriage. I didn't go looking for a wife. I waited till I was 31 to get married. And so God brought my future wife to me in church. And so when I saw her, I discovered a lot of things, when I saw her walk into that church and she was a part of our service. And so you don't go looking. We don't go out there searching for things. We seek first the kingdom of God. We don't seek first a wife. We don't seek first blessing. We don't seek first things. We seek the kingdom of God first. And then in seeking the kingdom of God first, that's where God adds everything to us. We can get into a whole lot of trouble, go out there and try to find our own wife. And if you want, God's, special person, if you want, to have that God send, then you're going to have to wait for God to send them to you. And so, I think too many times we're out there trying to do our own thing, trying to find our own stuff, and we get into trouble. We have to be willing to wait because it's not just God's will, it's God's timing. And when we have God's timing, when he sends us that person, you know, we discover, you know, really, you know, part of God's plan for our life. So we don't go looking. We really wait for God to send. It may take longer than what we want, but we have to wait for God's will to be accomplished in our life.
No, that's a great answer, Dad. Again, y'all, we have Pastor Bill Jenkins, the senior pastor of Destinyland Christian Center. And so what makes a woman and wife? Okay, you know what? Okay, let's put it like this. You know, listen on, like watching social media, you know, I could tell you one thing that doesn't make a woman a wife. If she have an hourglass figure. You know, I tell you, some guys, you know, they see a woman, you know, on a video dancing, whatever, you know, showing her shape, and because she have a behind that's shaped like a two basketballs. And all of a sudden, the guys will say, oh, man, I want to wife her. I'm thinking to myself, sir, she hasn't said one thing. You don't know what she stands for. You don't know. And she might not even be of this world. But you just looking at her figure, and automatically, oh, man, I'll wife her. I'll make her my wife. I say, man, you don't even know her name. you just going by her measurements. 34, 24, 48. And you think that's automatically a wife. So Pastor Jenkins, you know, don't get me wrong, I understand, you know, you're physically attracted to what you're attracted to. That's nature. But according to what's in the Bible, what makes a woman a wife? What is her role in a marriage according to the Bible?
Yeah, all you have to do is look at Proverbs 31. Most people don't know, but Proverbs 31 was written by the king's mother. Right. So we don't really understand that, but the king's mom is telling the king, who was single, what he needed to look for in a wife. And so attractiveness is great, but it's a bonus. You know, beauty is awesome, but, you know, it's not the main thing we ought to be looking for. And the Bible says, who can find a virtuous wife? Who can find a virtuous woman? The king's mother was telling the king, this is what you need to look for. And the bottom line is, she gave him tons of different characteristics. You know, she has to be trustworthy. She has to be virtuous. She has to be a person who can be counted on. She has to be dependable. All of these things. Now, when you read Proverbs 31, that's really about having a person of character. You know, the beauty is great, but you need to find people of character, people that are honest, people that are virtuous, people that you can count on, people that you know are going to be loyal and faithful. Those are way more important characteristics than the beauty. Like you said, you know, we want to be attracted. I want to be attracted to my wife. I was and I am attracted to my wife. I still think I have the most beautiful wife in the world. And so the beauty is good, but the character of a person, what's inside, who you are, that matters more. You know, we talk about reputation. Reputation is who other people think you are. Character is who God knows you are. Who are you when no one's looking? Is your closet as clean as your room? I think those are the characteristics we need to look for. You know, when we're out there, when we're single, I'm a guy, like I said, who waited a long time to get married. I was focused in on building the kingdom, doing, you know, the kingdom work. And so as I was doing that, what God did was he sort of brought me and my wife together. We don't go looking like this. We go like this. So as we're both going up towards the Lord, somewhere along the line, we find each other. And, you know, we hit that apex together where, you know, we're not going to hinder one another. We're going to help one another. We're going to bless one another, not curse one another. And that's the kind of things that, you know, when God does send us somebody, we need to really evaluate. Are they helping us or hurting us? Are they going to be there long term or short term? Are they looking, you know, for a helpmate or a playmate? Those are the kind of things I think that we can judge that can sort of help us to stay on that right track and to know when God does bring us somebody, if they're from God or not.
You said something I want you to cover, and you know, God said for the woman, the wife to be a helpmeet. So what does that look like for a wife to be a helpmeet for her husband?
Well, here's the thing. That's a tough scripture. And let me tell you why, because a lot of times if you try to dissect that and break that down, you're going to probably offend some people. But many times, whether we like to hear this or not, the woman is more designed to fit into the man's life than the man is to fit into the woman's life. And so the woman needs to come along and help that man to be able to do more than they ever could on their own. If you're a man and you're single and you're dating somebody and they're not going to be able to help you to do more for God with them, then you don't need them. So that's why we have the help meet. You have somebody who's there to help you to do more for the Lord because they're in your life than you ever could do by yourself. The Bible says the two are better than one, right? So we got to have, you know, that closeness, that connection, that they don't pull us from God. They don't take us away from the Lord, but they help us to get closer to God and do more for the Lord. And so that's what the Bible's talking about. You got to be that help meet. You got to be that person who, you know, sort of helps you to do more because they're in your life than you ever could without them.
All righty. And we'll get back to the wife too. So what's the role of a husband? Does this is for, you know, people that, you know, maybe like there's men out there desire to get married. But before we even go there, I don't know about other people. I'm talking about myself. I ain't talking about anybody else. You know, no, growing up in church and the leaderships I've been under, I can really say, I don't recall anybody really breaking down marriage in the church. And unfortunately, you know, except for under the leadership that I'm under right now. But prior to that, you know, growing up, I don't recall, and I'm not taking nothing from the pastors I've been under in the past, but I don't recall unless I missed service that day or zoned out. But it's very rare. You don't hear people talking about marriage. You don't hear people saying what the role of a husband, how vital a husband is to. No, to a family. You don't hear people talk about the role of a wife. I guess they don't want to offend people, or maybe God didn't leave them that way. But I was just sitting back and thinking, no, it's very rare that people talk about this. And I really think it's important, you know, that people that have a desire to get married, men and women that desire to get married, they need to have some kind of knowledge of what they're getting into. Because, y'all, it's not what you see on TV. Have they ever, this fairy tale ended y'all see on TV? So I'm glad we're having this discussion, just go ahead.
And think about it. Marriage is the first institution that God created. So the first institution he created was marriage. And so marriage is work. It's not easy. You know, you just don't wake up every morning and everything falls into place. And, you know, you have the wedding day and then you have a perfect life after that. You have to really invest and put the work in to make your marriage what God wants it to be every single day. So it's so important that we have the tools. So what you're saying is what a lot of people say. We're not talking about it. We're not talking about it in church. We're not talking about it from the pulpit. We're not having marriage ministries in our church. And because of that, we're not really providing people with the tools necessary to build their marriages. Think about it. If you're building a deck on your house or adding an addition to your home, and somebody shows up and they don't have the proper tools, you're going to be a little concerned, wondering what in the world are they doing here? Well, you know what? We know because the Bible tells us what marriage is about. We know that it's important because, you know, before God created government, before God created the church, God created the marriage. He created that institution. And so it was the very first thing. It had to be important to God. And we need to have more tools given to us in our churches through ministries and from the pulpit in order to help us to be able to build successful marriages. Because just like when you have a kid, you don't get a manual. When you get married, you know, the preacher who married you, they don't give you a manual. You don't know what to do. You got to figure this stuff out on your own. And that's not right. The Bible has many different answers for us to have a successful marriage. And it's up to us to sort of apply those things to our life. But we have to teach it more. We have to talk about it more. You know, as goes the man, so goes the family. As goes the family, so goes the church. As goes the church, so goes the world. Our, you know, world is really dependent upon the quality of man and the quality of marriage that we have in the United States of America. When we have 50% of, you know, people that are getting married, getting divorced, man, I tell you what, that's not a good ratio. We need to change that. We need to give people tools. We need to remind them of their vows. When you say those vows, you're making a commitment to somebody for life, for better, for worse, richer, for poor, sickness and in health, forsaking all others to keep yourself only unto them so long as you both shall live. Think about that. That's major vows. So when you give those vows, you got to be willing to commit to those vows, not just, you know, for the first 5 years, first 10 years until things, you know, begin to sour, until you have a big fight, until things go wrong. No. You do it for a lifetime. So you got to find the right one to begin with, because when you do, it's certainly going to make life a lot easier. So wait for God to send it, because, you know, that's going to be one of the keys to having a successful marriage. And then getting these tools from the Word of God that we can apply to our life that can truly help us.
All righty. And what would you say, what is the major roles of the husband in the marriage?
Well, here's the thing. The Bible says that, you know, a man's main job is to love his wife. A wife's main job is to respect her husband. What do most men want? Most men want to be respected. They don't like to be disrespected. They don't want to be treated, you know, they don't mind having a conversation, getting into deep stuff, talking about some stuff maybe that they can change, work on, or be better about, but just don't do it in public. Don't do it around people. Don't disrespect me, right? And so a man needs respect. A woman needs love. So when a man gives the woman love, the woman will give the man respect. When a woman gives the man respect, the man will give the woman love back. And think about this. This is one of the greatest revelations I think you'll ever hear. Because the man is the head, right? Well, what's on your head? Your head, your mind. So you have to think and understand. You have to know where your wife is coming from. You're going to have to invest the time to put her first. You know, obviously God is number one, but you put her first in the natural realm where you think and understand. You see things from her viewpoint, not always your viewpoint. You also have on your head your ears. So you got to hear and listen. How many times do people hear their wives, but they don't listen to a thing they're saying, you know? And so if you want to be the head, you got to think and understand. You got to hear and listen. You have a nose. What does your nose do? It smells. It senses if there's anything wrong. Maybe what we could do as men to be better husbands is to sense if there's a problem, to, you know, sort of curve that problem before it blows up. Let's get it when it's small, so we don't have to deal with it when it's big. What about our mouths? Our mouths are on our head. We're the head. The man is the head. And we think the head means boss. That's not what it means. A man has a mouth. We have heads. Our mouth are on our head. So we have to communicate to our spouses. So when we do the things that we're supposed to do, you know, our eyes are on our head. What do? We watch over. We protect it. It's one thing. You can say whatever you want to about me, but if you say something bad about my wife, even if I'm mad at her, I'm going to table that. You know what I mean? I'm going to put that on the back burner. I'm going to come after you. We're going to come after you together, because just don't mess with my wife. I can mess with her, but you can't. And so we need to make sure that we do those things. If the man is the head, you have to think and understand. You have to see and watch over. You have to hear and listen. You have a mouth that has to communicate. And when you do those things, I'm telling you, it's going to improve. It's going to make your marriage better. And you're going to be at the man, the head of your wife. But it's not meaning you're the boss, you're in control, you're in charge, you dominate, you rule. That's not what it means. It means that you take the time to do those things. And when you think about being the head, think about your mind, your mouth, your eyes, your nose, your ears. And when you do that, that's going to give you a better perspective of what God expects of us as husbands.
All right, y'all, that was As Will said, we have Pastor Bill Jenkins of Destiny Christian Center. Special guest, he's here to talk about marriage. It was, like I said, that was a question asked. Do a man find a wife on his own, or do we wait on God to send one? So we're, you know, going into it, dissecting this question. Now, you said something very, you know, interesting to me. You said a man wants respect, and you know, that goes for a man that's saved, and it goes for a worldly man. You know, I overheard a conversation some time ago. You know, this woman said that, but she's single, but she said she wants a saved husband. Don't get me wrong, y'all, that's good. And you know, a man ought to be living for Christ. Now, and all, she went on also to say her last boyfriend, how could she put it? Okay, he pretty much was a worldly man. I guess he was a drunk or whatever. But y'all need to understand, just because a man is, you get you a saved husband, that don't make him soft. That don't, because he's sanctified, that don't mean he's 65. Yeah. You know, just because, you know, just like that worldly man, he has some standards in his household. The same thing with a man living for Christ. And so that saved man, I don't know what y'all thinking, he ain't gonna be 365, 24/7 with his hands in the air, eyes closed, praying all the time. You know, so, you know, just because, okay, you might get a saved husband, you know, that don't mean getting a saved husband don't equal him being a pushover. And so I think people need to, you know, I need to put that out there. And I know even on, you probably done dated all these bad guys, you know, no good, drunks, cheaters, cussing you out, mistreating you, and no one should have put up with that.
Yeah.
I'm not justifying that. But now you go to that extreme, you got a man living by that word, and it ain't going to be no cakewalker.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
You're also not going to get a perfect husband. You know, just right. Because you're saved doesn't mean you're going to get a perfect man. He's going to make mistakes. And one of the worst things we can do is be the kind of person that always points out and emphasizes, focuses in on, and magnifies those mistakes. And so if you're going to have a good relationship, I don't care who you are, where you're from, you got to forgive, because you're going to be hurt. Marriage is, you know, there's going to be times when you get hurt in that marriage. And so if you think, you know, hey, I got a saved wife or I got a saved husband, and you think that's going to equate perfection, that will not happen.
Yes, sir, definitely. And you said, well, one more thing you said too, on reading Ephesians, you know, it gives the order of marriage. It's kind of the relationship of a person that's living for Christ and, you know, better Christ to the church. And it's kind of a parallel relationship of Christ to his church and a husband and a wife. And you know, now y'all, I'm just, whenever that word submission is brought up, you know, automatically, we've had discussions on this program before about marriage. And anytime that word submission is brought up, people automatically go to violence, being mean and rough. No. When you say the wife submit herself to her own husband, before y'all go there, and nobody's saying for a wife to sit up there and be abused by any man, but by her husband. That's not what it's saying. And the Bible tell the man, tell your husband, and the Bible speaks against that. So so anytime you hear the word submission, submit to your husband. Again, I don't know how many times I got to say this, nobody is saying that the husband that We're not saying that means the husband can be nasty, mean, and vile to the wife. That's not submission. It's I don't know. It just seems like people treat submission like a four-letter word. The man had to submit to Christ. So I don't understand why people always trying to have some kind of prerequisite to the word submission. Even in social media, there's a thing floating around. I saw in a post on Facebook said, your husband wants a submissive wife, but you don't remember, you have to be righteous. That's not in the Bible. Okay, whether your husband is saved or not, you have to submit. Same thing with the husband. If your wife is saved or not, you got to love her. So again, throw out this VH1 and whatever y'all see on TV. Stop adding all these prerequisites. Bible says submit. Bible say love, you love. Quit adding all these amendments to it. Just go by what the word says.
And that word submit is about yielding. And so, as a woman, as a man yields to Christ, so the woman should yield to the man. Now, the only caveat to that would be, a woman is not, necessarily supposed, if it's illegal, illicit, or immoral, a man, a woman doesn't have a responsibility to follow that man if they're doing something illegal, illicit, or immoral. God isn't going to ask us to do anything illegal, illicit, or immoral. And so if a man is asking a woman to do something like that, then that's the, that's sort of the, boundary line that we use. But, you're right. Just because you're saved or unsaved, the man needs to love his wife. And just because you're saved or unsaved doesn't mean the woman doesn't need to submit to the husband. And so we need to understand, and that word submission, there's another word that's even worse than submission that most people don't even know about. And we talk about submitting, but we don't understand what subjecting is. Read Ephesians. You'll see it talks about marriage. What is one of the things the Bible says a woman should do? Submit. And we stop there. We don't want to hear that. But it also says that a woman ought to subject herself to her husband. And here, let me tell you the difference between submission and subjection. Because submission means that you yield to your husband whether you like it or not. Okay. As men are supposed to submit to God, whether we like it or not. But here's what subjection is. And this is going to be funny for some people, because you can submit without having a good attitude. But when you subject, mm-hmm. you have to have a good attitude. And so that's the difference. Subjection is about, I'm going to submit to you, but I'm going to do it willingly. I'm going to do it with a good attitude. I'm not going to do it because I have to. I'm not going to do it because, I need to do it towards the Lord, or my, as a woman, I need to do it towards my man. We submit, but we do it with a good attitude. How many times do people submit? Even as men, think about just me and you. We submit, but we don't do it willingly. We submit, we do what God wants us to do, but we're not doing it with the right attitude. I always tell people this, when you first start out for God, your motives don't matter as much as they do later in your walk with God. For instance, it doesn't matter how you come to Christ. I don't care if you go to church because there's a good looking guy or a good looking girl. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me if you get saved because you feel like you're going to hell. But what matters later on is your motives matter. And so that's where subjection comes in at, is that your motives start to matter. Why am I doing this? Am I doing it willingly or unwillingly? Am I doing it because I want to or because I have to? I can submit unwillingly, but if I'm subjecting myself to somebody, I have to do it with a right heart, pure motives, a good attitude in order. And so when you read in Ephesians, you mentioned that earlier, when you read in Ephesians, you have to not just be submissive, you have to be subjective. So you have to do things with the right attitude, right motives, and a right heart. That's even harder, right? I mean, that's tough.
Oh, yes. I'll tell you, I really appreciate this discussion. Maybe, I say, hopefully before this is over, people have a better understanding of their roles according to what's in the Bible. Now it's interesting. I know maybe some time ago we did a broadcast kind of based on what Bishop T.D. Jakes said. He was speaking on how today women are being praised for their masculinity, or women are being so masculine, and they've been praised for that. And you know, it's they're not being praised for, you know, being feminine. And you know, he got a lot of, he was speaking truth, but he got a lot of kickback behind that, you know. And unfortunately, you know, sometimes some women, I guess sometimes their upbringing, you know, sometimes they're forced to, I guess, take on that tough, rugged, masculine attributes because of maybe a lack of a father in the home. Maybe the father done walked away, and maybe, you know, she got to step up and do what her father done did. Now, she decided to get married. I guess when her father left, or there's no father in the home, she had to be the dominant. And now once a man finds her interested in manner, now he got to deal with that. Now the man, he already know he's supposed to be the head, but now you're marrying a woman who thinks she got supposed to be the head. So how should a husband deal with that? You know, you come into, you married a woman, get yoked up with a woman who feels that, you know, she's equal or higher than a man.
And what you have to do is, you know, we don't rule with an iron fist. You know, it's like my wife, we've been married for 25 years. I never have had to say, you're my wife. God's word says you have to be submissive. I believe that women will follow men who are walking in integrity. And so if a man does his part by fulfilling his obligations before the Lord, I think even though it may be hard for a woman to sort of turn things over because of the background they've had, I think that, you know, most of the time they're going to end up falling into place and they're going to end up fulfilling that, you know, role and responsibility they have. You talk about the men, you know, look at people in jails. 80% of people in jails right now are people that didn't have a father. So do we have a crime problem or do we have a daddy problem? You know, we don't have men who are raising their kids. You know, we got sperm donors, but we don't have dads. We don't have fathers. We don't have people who are really, you know, leading their kids. And what we're doing is we're reproducing after our kind. So because we've had bad marriages in the past, divorce in the past, we're reproducing that. So there's very few examples, right? Anymore, there's very few examples of what a good marriage is all about. And so I always stress to my wife the importance of making our marriage better. I don't want to go backwards. I want to go forward. I don't want it to be worse. I want it to be better. I want to make sure that we're always conscious of the fact that we do the things to honor and to serve our spouse. And I promise you this, one of the keys to a successful marriage, if you want to be successful in a marriage, if you want to be successful in any relationship, you have to seek to outserve, not just serve. You have to seek to outserve your spouse. So you have to go above and beyond. Never get lazy, never get bored, never get tired, never take them for granted. Appreciate them as a gift. Because I may not be mean as a person. I may not be everybody's reward, but I am somebody's reward. My wife may not be everybody's reward, but she's my reward. And so as long as we keep that conscious on the forefront of our mind, we're going to serve and treat people. So I think if a man leads that woman in the right way, the integrity that he shows, even though he may not be perfect, I think sooner or later, no matter how strong that woman is, I think they're going to fall into line and they're going to follow. They want to have somebody to follow. And if a man is doing that, if a husband is doing that, I think that woman is going to ultimately, even though she may have times, you know, where she's like a wild horse out there in the field and bucking the system, I think that, you know, she is going to fall into place because ultimately, I think that's the heart of a woman, is that they want somebody to lead. And my mom really raised me. My mom was stronger than what she had to be. How many single women are out there who have to be stronger than what they have to be because they didn't have a father, they don't have a man, they don't have an example, no one's leading the way, and they have to do it. And then they get criticized. Some of these women get criticized for being strong women. I love strong women, man. My wife's a strong woman. My mother, when she was alive, strong woman. I love strong women. Now, just because you're strong, doesn't mean you usurp the authority of your husband, but it also doesn't mean that you can't have some input. You can't share. You can't be a part of that. And so I think if a man shows that to his wife, shows that love, that understanding, remember what we talked about, the mind, the mouth, the ears, the nose. If we do that, then I think that ultimately that woman, as that man is yielded to the Lord, that woman's going to yield herself to the Lord and ultimately to her husband.
Yeah, special good to see Pastor Bill Jenkins, pastor of Destiny Christian Center, Rancho Cucamonga, California. And like I said, we're pretty good discussion here on marriage and the roles of the husband and the wife. And, you know, I was just sitting here thinking, you know, my mind kind of goes back. I was just sitting at a church service one time. I guess the preacher, the subject he was teaching on, he had some kind of illustration, so he was no passing out the illustration, I guess, to families or whatever. This particular lady that we went to the same church. I know. Yeah, she's married, but I don't believe her husband is in his church. He didn't go to the same church that she went to, but there's something that happened that kind of threw me off a little bit. The preacher that was preaching, he said the head of household don't raise your hand. I guess was to hand out the illustration so people can follow along to what he was preaching. So it was people raised their hands, and I noticed her. She raised her hand. No, she's a wife of that. And then I keep in mind that at that time nobody, you know, really was teaching on marriage. But I looked at her. I said, I know something about that didn't sit well with me. I know she's a wife, she's a God-fearing woman, but when the preacher asked for the head of households to raise her hand, I saw her raise her hand. I said, I didn't think, you know, to me, that just seemed just a little bit odd, you know, and I guess it's like that. I guess society, no praises that, where the women are in a role where they shouldn't be. Now that particular Sunday, I don't know, maybe because her husband wasn't there, maybe she just wanted that illustration in hand or whatever. But I just thought that was just kind of odd, you know. I don't know, for a wife to raise her hand as being the head of a household, to have a whole husband at home. That's just kind of.
Yeah,
threw me off a little bit.
That's one of the important things. You know, I have three boys. And so, you know, we've been praying. Me and my wife have been praying for our boys, for their spouses, you know, really since they've been little kids. So we want them to be equally yoked. The Bible talks about being unequally yoked. And so we have to make sure that when, you know, God brings us somebody, that, you know, we know that we are equally yoked with them. In other words, we have the same vision, the same direction. Right. This past Sunday, I talked about division and how the word division is really two words. It has the prefix D-I, and then it has the word vision. So think about that, D-I and then vision. So the word D-I, the prefix, literally means two or double. So whenever you have a double vision, there's going to be division. And so that's why it's so important to have one vision. Remember, the two become what? One flesh. And so when God brings you together, we would think one and one equals two. But in God's mathematics system, One and one equals one. And so we need to be one. We need to be united. And part of being equally yoked is having the same vision, heading in the same direction, having the same goals, having the same sort of thoughts and opinions about things, so that you don't have a bunch of, confusion and division and chaos going on in your relationship. So when you have division, it's two visions. So when the husband has a vision and the wife has a different vision, you're unequally yoked. This is the kind of stuff you need to figure out before you get married. Because if you're going in two different directions, that's a sure sign. I don't care how good they look, that you are not to be with them. They are not your spouse. They are not the one that, God is sending to you. And so it's so important to make sure that we have one vision. Our direction is towards the Lord. We're headed towards God. We have the same belief system. We just don't, connect with people who have a totally different belief system and think it's going to work. So that's why, you got to be in church together. You can't just have one church here and one church there. That's a double vision, and that's going to lead to division, and that's against God's will, because God wants unity. He wants us to walk in peace. He wants us to have, uniformity. He wants us to get along, and we can't do that if each of us, the man and the woman, have a different vision.
Yes, indeed. And another thing that society seems to praise is, independence. To me, it seemed like independence and marriage don't go together. The people praise a strong, independent woman. How can you be strong and independent and married at the same time? It's like an oxymoron, be big and small at the same time, hot and cold at the same time. It don't make no sense. Now, it's interesting to me. I was looking at a video, people make little. Like silly videos, is this lady, she was cooking a seafood ball. It was looking pretty good. She was saying, I'm cooking a meal for my future husband. And I went straight to the comments, see what was said, and lo and behold, another woman on there said, you're a strong, independent woman. You don't need a man. And I read the one that created the video, and I read her response. Her response was, I know I don't need a man, but I want one. So if you, and unfortunately, that happens in marriage, I know the Bible said, the man is, I'm getting tongue twisted. The man is the head of the woman. So saying that you don't need a man is that's a lie right there. But unfortunately, society is praising women independence, and unfortunately, a lot of women know they bite that, and they feed into that, and they believe that, and then like you're saying, being unequally yoked, they help, marry a man, who wants to leave, but again, she's just so independent. You say if you want something, that means it's disposable. You can get rid of it anytime. There's a difference between a need and a want. You just want a man, okay, but that's, like I said, man, society is really, it's a different world, and a father's role is very vital. You're growing up, that's how you get your first learning of marriage, seeing your mother and father. They give you some kind of basis, but that father not there. Now, like you mentioned before, that father is not there, or a father there, but just not being a father. Like you said, just a sperm donor. It begins with the man. Yeah. If the father and the daughter don't have a great relationship, you got fathers raising independent daughters, unfortunately. And again, some man gonna want your daughter, and he gonna catch it. Because why? You raised her to be strong and independent.
Yeah.
So that's where we live in, Pastor.
And independence is the first thing that got man and woman into trouble in the garden. You know, they wanted to have independence from God. So, you know, marriage in many ways is designed for us to be dependent upon each other. Now, at the same time, to balance, you know, that out a little bit, you know, I don't want to be my wife's father. I don't want her to be my mother, but I may need some mothering sometimes, you know. I just want to be mothered, but not smothered. And so, you know, there may be times, you know, we serve different roles, you know, for people in our lives. And so we have to accept that. But we can't just be independent. We're going to do our own thing. That's not what, if you want to be independent, be single. But if you're going to be married, you have to learn how to be dependent upon one another and be dependent upon the Lord, because that's how God designed it. You know, two are better than one. If you're cold, you have somebody there to warm you up. You know, two are better than one all the time. God wants us to insulate ourselves, never isolate ourselves. And part of independence is about isolating ourselves, thinking we can handle it. We're going to do things our way. We know better than anybody else. We may not say that, but our actions show that. So we have to be very careful to not live two separate lifestyles when we're married and think that that's going to lead to success. It won't. You have to join together. I love my wife, but here's the key. I like my wife. I like to spend time with her. She's my best friend. I want to be with her. I want to spend time with her. We have a fun time when we're together. Now, does my wife make me mad? Absolutely. My wife can make me madder than anybody. But, you know, I would rather be with my wife more than anybody. So we can't live independent lifestyles and think that that's God's will and think that that's going to lead to a successful relationship. It never has, and it never will. You have to learn how to, as a unit, depend upon the Lord in order for true success to take place in your life.
Yes, sir. I'll tell you, like I said, I listen to some of these men. And, you know, I know even some are married. You know, some of these men that have daughters, you know, I'm gonna teach my girl to be independent. I don't want her to depend on no man. But okay, sir. But you married. You have a wife. So you don't want the same thing for your daughter? Ain't no man, ain't no boys good enough for my daughter. Okay, but you married somebody's daughter.
Yeah.
Do your wife father feel the same way about you?
Yeah.
So we got to, like I said, it starts with the father. It starts at home. I recommend y'all don't that you're doing a disjustice if you raise your daughters to be independent. Y'all just take my word on it. You're doing a disjustice to your daughters. Oh, you have something you want to add to that?
I mean, you know, the thing is, it's tough being a dad in the society because, like I said, we've had very little examples. If you look in the prisons, most of them who are in prison didn't have a father figure. So in America, we talk about crime, but I'm wondering if it's more of a daddy issue than it is a crime issue. And so, you know, we always need to lead and guide and direct, whether it's our wives, our daughters, our sons, whatever it may be. We need to lead them according to the will and the word of God. As long as we're doing that, we're going to be right. We're going to be okay. We're going to come out on the right side of things. And so we just, you know, it's not easy. I pray for parents, man. I got three boys. I thought when they were, you know, younger, that it would get easier for me as a dad when they got older. Boy, was I wrong. It's more hard now to be a dad to my boys than it was then. And so, you know, I have to, you know, work hard at being a good husband, a good man, a good father. And it's important to me. And when you make that investment, you know, when you lead them according to the Bible and to the Word of God, you're never going to come out on the short side of things. You're never going to draw the short stick. And so I think that's what's so important that we grasp. You know, God really, in many ways, has called most people to be married. Okay. So whether you like that or not, you can look in the Bible. I can prove it to you that, you know, you're either going to be a eunuch, somebody who is not going to connect, you know, with the opposite sex, or you're going to be somebody who, you know, is a candidate for marriage. And so if you're going to be a candidate for marriage, quit worrying about what everybody else is doing and draw a circle around yourself. Quit looking for the best woman or the best man. And you start being the best woman and the best man you can be according to Scripture. When you do that, I believe God's going to honor that. You know, we're always trying to change people and point the finger and tell them what we want. And, you know, I remember when I was in Bible school, we'd have girls who would have, you know, list of 57 different things they wanted in a man, you know, everything from blonde hair and blue eyes. And I thought, well, what if, you know, 55 of the things work, but they had dark hair and, you know, brown eyes, there would be disqualified. To me, that stuff's ridiculous. You know, if you don't like the hair color, man, you can go to Walmart and get and change your hair color. You know, we dwell on too many ridiculous things that don't really matter in our society. And then we wonder why we're having the trouble that we do. And so if you're listening to this program today, I believe that most people, God has designed for you to be married, but are you preparing yourself for marriage? Are you preparing yourself to be the best you? Are you preparing yourself to outserve your spouse? Are you preparing yourself? Are you ready for God to bring it to you? If you're not ready, why would God ever send you a spouse? Because you're not ready. Get ready now. Work on it. You know, don't go out there and try to find some spouse in the world. Don't go out there in the wrong places and then wonder why you're not finding a godly spouse. You know, I didn't go to the bar, you know, looking. I didn't get on, you know, this TV show or that TV show. I let God bring the one he wanted to me. And all I can tell you is we've been married 25 years, but it's not just marriage. You know, we like and we love each other. Do we have arguments? Do we go through troubles? Absolutely. But, you know, when you know that God has brought you together, that God has connected you, the Bible says, whom God has brought together, let no man, let nobody separate. And so you have to get the right one to begin with. You have to make sure that you're doing everything you can to be the spouse you want to have in your life for you. You have to be that for other people.
All right, people, I'm going to hope you all got something out of this. However you're listening, wherever you're listening from, I hope there was something that was said. That'll help you along the way. And also, you know, now you know Pastor Jenkins, he's an author. He's got several books out there. You want to, you know, speak about your books and how people can, you know, purchase a copy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can see behind me my newest book. It's called The Prophetic Almanac for 2023. It's where we look in the Bible at the number 23. And then let it sort of define a vision for us for this year. There's 31,102 verses in the Bible. If every verse is important, every word is important, every word is in there for a reason. So when you see a name, a color, a person, or a place, including when you see a number, it's there for a reason. It's not on accident. So five times the number 23 is mentioned in the Bible, and it helps us develop a vision for this year. And so I encourage people to get a copy of this book. It's 110 pages. It's filled with inspiration, information, and divine revelation. It's the kind of book that'll tell you what you can expect of God for this year and what God expects of you. So you can go to Walmart. We're excited that Walmart's picked up the book. So walmart.com, you can get a book right now. You can go to Amazon. You can download it on ebook, Kindle, Barnes & Noble. You can go to eBay, and you can go to PastorBillJenkins.org. Now, when you go to PastorBillJenkins.org, I have 17 different books. So 17 different books are available for you. You can listen to all of our radio podcasts. Plus, the most exciting thing is you can connect with me on social media. So Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. You can get my Minute That Matters. It's a 1 minute, 60 second video devotional every single day, Monday through Friday. We offer you to either get your day started, get through your day, or end your day. It's a beautiful way to sort of get a little prophetic nugget from the Lord every single day. So connect with me. I'd love to hear from you. Love to have you join me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Get that minute that matters. You can be in contact with me. If we, talk about something and you have a question, we're here to answer it for you. But the best place to get everything you need, all the tools that we provide, is PastorBillJenkins.org. So go and get you a copy of the book. Go and check it out. It's going to be a blessing to you. And you can get a little nugget from the Word of God from me every single day through my Minute That Matters, a little video devotional Monday through Friday.
All right, y'all. That was Pastor Bill Jenkins from Destiny Land Christian Center. Pastor, I really appreciate you coming on here. I mean, you really, drop some knowledge. I just hope the people that's, to go tune in and hear it and really don't take a hold of what was said today. And I appreciate you coming on again to, share the word with us.
Absolutely. Love being with you. Love the questions, and appreciate your heart and spirit and believing for God's best for you here in 2023 too.
All right. Again, we appreciate y'all for tuning in. Until next time, God bless you.